welcome to What If. I'm Dave Stutz.
I'm Justin Osborne. I just thought of something, and it is the ultimate question that you always ask yourself from a child all the way till probably when you die. And the question is what if you could choose your superpower? And what if you woke up with it tomorrow?
Oh, we're going to do that one now, huh? I was saving that one for a special day. We can do that. Let's do it.
It's an evolving thing because, see, I might choose a power today. And something may happen to me in a week or two, and I'll be like, dude, forget that power. I want this power.
So we're not putting the 24-hour limit on it. You pick your one power. You wake up tomorrow, you have that power for the rest of your life.
You have it. Now, I mean, there's a lot of things that go with that. Now, if you had it, if you chose your power and you had it and you woke up tomorrow with it, there's an agenda. I mean, there's a reason why you think about it.
Right.
I mean, years ago, I would say, well, I want to have super strength. You know, I mean, the character that I would pick to be, you know, what if I was this superhero, right?
Right.
It's different then than it is now. I want something different because you learn a little bit more about life. And I think a lot of these shows that we see today focus more on how hard it would be to possess superpower in the society.
Yeah.
Because people don't necessarily appreciate it. Matter of fact, they seem kind of jealous about it. Sorry, we have equipment issues here. Dave, watch your big feet, man.
Yeah, sure.
So
that was not me, by the way.
Yeah, it was. Anyways, this isn't about you and me. It's about the show.
Right. Well, here's the thing. First one off the list would never, ever choose is immortality. I don't want to live forever.
No.
I definitely want to die one day.
All right, I'm with you on that. I'm with you.
So immortality is
gone. Because I would hate to wake up tomorrow knowing I've lived forever. Why? Because I don't have a big enough agenda for forever.
Well, not only that, but then you get to live and die, you get to live with people who live and die around you. You lose all of your friends, all your family, and then you're still living.
Yeah, but you live through hard times, and all you look forward to is really the next hard time.
The next depression?
Right. I mean, you don't really look forward to the next good time. We do in this life because it's limited, but as an immortal, you'd probably be like, oh, how long until the next drought? Could be thirsty for years.
Yeah.
And just not die. And does that not death incorporate, like, you get mutilated but you just don't die?
Yeah.
Or do you heal? See, you only get to pick one. See, we think of immortality as just because you don't age it, you can't get injured.
Right. You can't have Wolverine's adamantium skeleton and also have his healing factor.
Right. So that means that if you got stabbed in the stomach, right?
Right.
Then you're going to be with this wound. I mean, you'll heal, but you have the scar. So if you live to be, like, say, 1,500 years old, you could just look like a scar.
What do you mean?
I mean, think of all the injuries you accrue in one lifetime.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you're just...
I mean, your knees would be nothing but...
You are just a walking callus.
Right, you'd be sick looking.
Yeah, you'd be messed up.
So, all right, definitely not that. Definitely not.
Yeah, well... My first thing, you tell me I can pick a superpower. I'm looking at Superman. So what's he got? He's got his cold breath. I wouldn't really want that. You can't do but so much with that.
Yeah, it doesn't come in handy all the time.
You got
heat vision.
Heat vision you can use anytime, all the time, I think. That wouldn't be a bad power. Because if you're ever stuck in the bush, I mean, one of the key things that Les Stroud talks about is you need that fire. So if you got fire coming out of your eyes, you're good. Still not cool enough for me, though. I don't know if I'd go.
And what about X-ray vision?
X-ray vision is unspeakably cool. It really is. Because you can look into the human body and, like, find sickness that certain doctors can't find right away. You can...
Well, I see, and that's the deal. So you look at it from that angle. I am with you on that angle. Me, personally, just as a great audience disagreeing, people think of X-ray as... clothing layer deep. I'm thinking.
No, you can see.
I'm thinking.
Anything.
But I would want to see deeper. Because I would really want it to be used for good, and not.
You know what's even nuttier about X-ray vision? So let's say you can look through the earth, and with X-ray vision, let's say you can just have Superman's eyes. So Superman, not only does he have X-ray vision, but in some stories he's got just. Very keen eyesight. So let's say you can look through the earth to the other side of the globe, so you can almost in a sense see the future happening, because by the time your eyes get to the where it's at, or do you see in the past?
depends on which way you look, doesn't it?
Yeah. So that's crazy.
All right, well, let's look at it this way. All right, let's analyze, though, because what makes Superman able to do that is the fact that he's Kryptonian, right?
Right.
So if you had or heat vision as a human, would it not melt your eyeball? What I mean is that he's not affected by fire.
Yeah. Superman is the perfect temperature 24/7.
So for the listeners out there, if you're going to choose this one power, be very wise in your molecular makeup.
Well,
because let's just say you had super speed, and you hit a tree, you're gonna die.
You did.
See, Superman doesn't worry about those things.
Well, I was gonna say he sees things differently with a super speed, though. But that goes into effect. Maybe you can't see the same. Well, you can't have super speed without having
being able to
time slow down.
Right.
You know. So I'll say that goes along.
Okay. Because the Flash, if he gets shot, he dies, I think.
Yeah.
So, but he runs very fast. He runs faster than Superman, according to the show.
Right. Depending on what story and book you read.
Right. And let's just say that he is faster. So he's super fast. He has no other superpower than speed, that I know of.
Yeah. Pretty sure.
So therefore, then how does his knees handle that? I mean, come on now. I mean, that's a lot of impact.
Well, if you have the super speed power, then obviously you have the legs to handle it. It comes with the physical makeup that is conducive to super speed.
All right, so it's a given that in some of these, like what about super hearing? That's not really affecting anything else.
Yeah, you just have a better, what is it, the meatus and the cochlea inside your ear that helps you hear.
I know is that there's a stirrup in there.
Yeah, you have the hammer, the anvil, and the stirrup. Those are three little bones in your ear.
And they're the smallest bones in your body.
Yeah, so there you go.
There you go, everyone.
So what if you had three small bones in your ear? Well, you do, so.
Yeah, what if you did, you do. And what if you could see them? You can, not your... Doesn't matter.
Yeah,
the point
doesn't
is
matter.
That they are there.
So you have awesome reinforced stirrups. We're gonna say the stirrup is responsible for hearing. It's not. It's all those things put together. But let's say, for the sake of comic book, that your awesome stirrup is what helps you have super hearing. I would never choose that power, super hearing.
No, I don't want that. See, here's the thing: is that when I break it down into one, I don't want just one.
Yeah, you want to be Superman.
Right, see, and that's what I was getting at. I was like, what if you had one? The answer could be, you don't want just one. It's like Lay's potato chips. You don't want just one.
Right. You're the guy who rubs the lamp and asks for more wishes.
Yes, it would be. Because, see, here, I tell you the truth. My original want of a superhero that I wanted to be was like Superman, something like that. And I changed, though. And the reason why is because Superman, from what I know, is immortal.
Yeah, even when they try to kill him, they just bring him back. DC.
So, DC makes him immortal.
Yeah.
But I don't think Spider-Man's immortal. I don't think he is.
You can definitely crush a spider.
And he can be killed. And he can get hurt. But he's extremely strong. He's almost normal. He's just strong. He has
a
spider sense.
It's because you have the proportionality of a spider. So it's like you can crush a spider because you're much bigger than it, but now you have this human-sized spider. So he does have some strength and resiliency to him.
Well, he can fall off a building and not blow and splatter all over the place. So a spider can.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, though, but a Spider-Man has a lot of attractive qualities to me because he's super, but he's really just like an enhanced human.
So now are we switching to what if you could be a superhero?
Because
Spider-Man has all of the... He's got his Spidey sense, which is your one thing. He's got
Well, if I could just choose one, that might be one. Spidey senses are pretty awesome. That could keep you from getting killed a lot of times.
Yeah.
But see, he can react with Spider-Man's speed to the Spidey sense.
Well, here's what's cool about Spider-Man, too, is I'm going to go ahead and give you the webbing. Because in the movie, they make it out that, you know, it actually comes out of his wrist or whatever. But in the comic, he manufactures it.
Right,
so
it's
I'm
like
gonna
a
say
wristband.
You have that. You have the little button in your glove. So not only do you get Spidey sense, but you get the webbing. That might be all you need, man. You can fly around the city and just be cool.
Yeah, because their Spidey sense, I think, makes your wit, like, enhanced, so you can actually know.
Right, so that power would just reinforce the natural instinct of your human body. It would just retrain your body a little bit.
That could be a very useful useful superpower. Yeah. Spider sense.
I like that a lot. That's but good.
If I could have the package, I guess, yes. I mean, if I were to choose the whole package at this point in my life, it would be Spider-Man.
Yeah, and it's funny you mention that too, because when I first got into comics way back in the day, that was the first one I picked up, just because, you know, as a kid, I knew who Spider-Man was. I didn't know Superman as much, you know. Superman came more in my recent college years, but
and Spider-Man would be cool. Crazy. Because, I mean, I grew up with the 80s Superman movies, and...
Right. And I didn't even know who Chris... Well, I barely knew who Christopher Reeves was.
By the time you knew who he was, he died.
Yeah. I had to come into who he was later, too.
Very, very sad. Very yeah. sad.
Donate money to the Christopher Reeve Foundation if you can.
Yeah, and we get nothing for that.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing. Unless you guys listen and...
If you feel compelled... So, you know, I don't even know much about the Christopher Reeve Foundation. Maybe I should look it up. Yeah, and all check I know it out. Is I'm that, trusting like, that he's Superman.
Tom Welling said something about it.
Yeah, and you gotta trust.
Yeah, Tom Welling seems like a trustworthy guy.
Tom's a man.
I'm starting to believe that Tom Welling is Superman.
Right.
After time, and that's why he makes me want to be Superman. He does.
Right. Erica Durance makes me want to be Superman.
that is true.
Yeah.
For days.
See, because Margot Kidder is your Lois Lane. No. Erica Durance is my Lois Lane.
Margot Kidder made me not like Superman.
Yeah, when you watch the Superman movies, who do you want him to end up with?
Lana Lane. Because, see, when he visited her... Because
that's Annette O'Toole.
I was much younger then, and I thought, what in the world are you doing, Clark?
Yeah.
Why are you not in Smallville?
For the sake of the script, you have to be in love with Lois, but for the sake of casting, I say you're in love with Lana.
At 5 years old, Margot Kidder was horrible to me. And at 30 years old, she's still horrible.
Like, I have to wonder if what the percentage of guys out there that were like, yeah, that's Lois Lane right there. Because I ain't one of them, man. No, I'm in that extreme situation.
I was born out of due time concerning Margot Kidder.
Yeah.
She is yuck.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're listening, Margot, we love you as far as like your contributions.
Right, because as far as I know, she's still around. She's
but you know, that Lana was better. Come on.
Yeah.
I can recognize when somebody else is superior to me in appearance.
If Margot Kidder would like to come on and dispute any of this, she is more than welcome.
She is. Now, that means that's not violently, though.
Yeah, no. We are not physically posting anything negative about you. I mean, I guess this will end up on the internet, but so you can fight with words, but you know.
Yeah, we're not here to throw blows to anybody. Right. But we are here to say that honesty is our policy, and that's why we have What If. Because honestly, what if this happened? What would you do?
Right. So, what is our kryptonite? Would it be quartz, amethyst? We have tons. Because Krypton was made...
Well, it had to be the interplanetary, like the chunks on the inside. So maybe it's like
what's
granite.
What's under the inner core? Is it like granite?
I know. Well, granite about is science. The outside mantle. It's like 1,500 right. miles thick of granite, and then you have the liquid core that is liquid nickel.
Right.
And then you have a solid core in the center, theoretically, and I think a solid nickel.
So it would have to be the foundations of the Earth.
Right.
That they bring with you. They can't just bring a rock.
Nah, they couldn't just pick up a rock and throw it at you. It would bounce off. But the green junk that is inside of Krypton, whatever that green stuff is, because everything that I've seen, the planet is white on the outside.
Yeah, like Krypton is this beautiful place. Right. And then they find these green kryptonite rocks.
Inside, it's green. If you watch Superman Returns, when it explodes, you see the green.
Yeah.
It seems to come out of the middle.
Yeah.
So you have the green on the inside.
So would they bring nickel?
I would think that they would bring like a cooled nickel or maybe a you've seen that movie The Core?
It's been a while.
Well, inside of that they dig to this part and then it's right, just empty.
Like the, yeah, and there's the diamond
huge,
fields.
Yeah,
and
there's
stuff.
Huge crystals.
Yeah. So it would be those crystals.
Yeah, maybe that.
So this entire What If basis is based on what if all these movies are true.
Yeah. So what would the rock be? Now, see, there could be somebody who's listening who's like a geologist, and they're like, dude, it would be this.
Yeah.
Because it has a concentration of this. But what was harmless on his planet is lethal to him on our planet.
Right.
From what I gather.
Right.
So there are things that are harmful to us on this planet. But see, we don't know enough about Krypton to know. I mean, they had to have a ton of elements. like us. I mean, we have.
Well, it's one of those kind of. I think it's just one of those kind of, you know, comic mysteries. Is, you know, what else is in? Because it doesn't matter. Krypton has kryptonite, and so they. I don't think they really go
so
into the.
So it would have to be an earthite. Earthenite.
Well, to them, yes, because you know what, Superman. You know, Jor-El sent him to Earth as a baby, so all he knows of Krypton is kryptonite. He wasn't raised there. He doesn't know what else is there. The only difference is you and I have been raised on Earth, so we know what all these elements are, you know?
Right. And you would think that those ones, at least in Smallville, that were older, would be more aware of kryptonite, but they're not. They also get sick. I mean, like, they don't avoid it. Clark doesn't avoid it because he doesn't know. All he knows is meteor rock makes him sick. He didn't even know it was called kryptonite till later.
Yeah.
We would know. And I think they wouldn't call it earthite because that sounds dumb. I think they would call it like territe.
Territe?
Yeah.
Why territe?
Because like terra is earth. It's just a cooler name for earth.
Oh, that's cool.
Territe. See, they're like, that's territe. Ugh. And you get all sick.
Right.
Me, like I said, if we had superheroes on my super planet, I always said that if I was Superman, I would get the Flash to go around and grab all the kryptonite and throw it out of the earth, and then I don't have to worry about that anymore.
Yeah, right.
What else affects Superman other than kryptonite? I don't think anything.
Well, it depends on what story you're watching. If you're into the Smallville and maybe some of the comics, then there are different forms of kryptonite. All of a sudden, we have blue and red and black kryptonite.
Blue makes them normal.
Silver kryptonite.
Green means stop, and red means go.
Yeah. But I think for the sake of, let's just say we're going to Kandor. That's the name of the planet they're from. And the sake of Kandor, all we have is the Territe. That's the only thing we have. So, yeah, if you can find a Flash Gordon on Kandor, just make friends with him. Have him gather it up, chuck it into the red sun.
I would do
sun.
It because I wouldn't want somebody like having these rings punching me in the face. I can't stand it.
But then again, I don't know enough about science to think that if you were to gather up a bunch of Territe, which was birthed in the core of Earth, so let's say it's cooled nickel, and then you toss it into the red sun, and all of a sudden the UV rays coming down from the sun has this territe in it, and so you can never go out during the daytime because you'll just die.
Yeah, I might have them just throw it out.
Just throw it back to Earth,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, just throw it back in that direction.
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
I think there's a million synapses in our mind that happen at every minute, and each one of those speaks to question, what if? Every day we are faced with that. What if this? What if you... I was just thinking that I was getting off of a ledge. I was working, and I got off a ledge and smashed my knee right on the top of this brick thing. Anyway, it hurt really bad. But I couldn't have seen that coming.
Right.
And so every day is a what if.
Yeah.
The people who die in a day have no idea they're going to die. That's a pretty morbid thought, but you have no clue.
Well, you know, I can think back to all of the major things that have ever happened in my life, and I remember hours after they happen, when you're sitting and you have your own quiet reflection, you always, at least I have always thought, man, like, I would have never thought when I woke up today that that was going to happen.
Right, you don't.
Yeah, so you start to think, man, what if that didn't happen, you know? It's crazy, your day would be different.
It's like that story I tell when that guy punched me in my face. He punched me in my face, and I thought, I wish I didn't wear a white sweatshirt today.
Right,
but I did not wake up thinking I was going to get punched in the face. And that's the deal, is that if you don't go through the what-ifs, then if it does actually happen, then you won't know what to do.
Yeah.
See, if a craft lands, I know kind of what I'm going to do.
Right. Well, and that's the true sign of maturity. It's like if you can think, you know, maturely about the horrible things that have ever happened in your life, and you think, well, that was leading me to something better. That was leading me to, you know, a situation that I know how to deal with. All the most embarrassing moments in my life and things like that, it's like, man, I really wish that hadn't happened, but it prepares you for your next adventure.
Right. It does. And the thing is, you need stuff to happen, and you need to see stuff happen, but you need to talk about stuff happening.
Yeah.
You just do. There's just too much in today's world that could happen. You can be at a gas station, the guy rolls up on you with a gun. Happens all the time.
What if?
And then what if somebody does that to you? You got to know. If the thing is as upsetting as it is in the Virginia Tech massacre, too many people weren't doing the what ifs.
Yeah.
We go on living our life, and nobody was like, what if a guy comes in with a gun?
Yeah.
Because he did. Yeah. And he shot 33 people. And nobody did anything that I know of. Nobody threw a desk at him. Nobody waited at the door.
Yeah.
It took a long time. People cowered down.
Which really kind of, it kind of shocked you and I, you know what I mean? It's like, right, you know, nothing.
I would be as terrified as anybody there.
Right.
I'm sure of it. But I have to ask myself, what would I do?
When does self-preservation happen, man? Well,
when does care for your fellow student? Maybe you get shot, but what about that other, the girl? The females, you know, what is that natural instinct in man to protect?
Because he's one guy, and he has one gun that eventually he needs to reload, and that's your time.
He had two guns. He had a lot of guns, but he still only has two hands. And if you throw a desk at him and it distracts him, somebody could do something. But you need teamwork. And now if you're the only one working, you're going to get gunned down. That was maybe that was the fear.
Right.
It's like, I'm the only one that's going to actually react.
Well, see, because my thing is, I feel like, depending on where this guy shoots me, I might be able to live. If he shoots me in my shoulder, I can live, you know? So I would be willing to, like, try to bum rush him at the sake of maybe getting shot in my shoulder if I knew that I had some people behind me that were going to help
me out. Right, that's the key, is that you look around and you see these students that are just not going to do anything.
Right.
I mean, you know them well enough.
Now, certainly, we are not trying to come off as macho in the fact that we would have changed the face of history with the Virginia Tech massacre. I would have been terrified if there was a guy on campus a few classes down, and I cannot truly tell you with any confidence exactly what I would do. But I guess what we're really trying to encourage is ask yourself,
the question is, what if man out there with a family, what if gunman comes out of the dark? What if you have your family?
What are you going
to
do?
If he's just after your wallet, fine, give him the wallet. But if you know that he intends danger, you've got to make up your mind now.
Like, how many more newscasts and television shows like I Survived need to come out before you're like, man, what if that happened to me?
Yeah, you know? It's the thing is, you got to ask yourself now. Yeah. I mean, we can wrap up this show, and somebody that may listen to this will be directly affected. Maybe not in anything that we said, but what a what-if situation. Right. A what-if situation that you could have asked yourself. That's why when we do post up in due time, like the email, send us the what-ifs. We will, if at all possible, we will address all of them with what we as nobodies would do as average person in America. And the thing is that what if you woke up and you were half man, half car?
Yeah, I mean, what if you were a human transformer?
Yeah, what if you saw a transformer?
Yeah, what if,
would you be like? What if Wiki?
You saw Otacon?
Right. I mean, what if you were in the Matrix? What if
Real? Otacon?
Yeah. What is
that real?
I don't know. It sounded good.
Maybe Optimus
like
Prime.
I totally just went with it because it sounded very transformer. All
right.
But anyways,
I guess that's enough what if for this week. I'm Dave Stutz.
And I'm Justin Osborne.
What if?